Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, if you're like me, I'm continually angered over the incessant attacks, either directly against or by just ignoring the provisions of our U.S. Constitution. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if we do not start more actively resisting this by informed citizens standing up, we're going to awaken one day to a dictatorship right here in our own nation. It's the truth. Yet I'm even more alarmed at perhaps the broad ignorance of our basic rights and why they exist. Many think that what we have just happened and it will always be that way because that's all they've known, but it's not true. Today's going to be an informative and focused review on our national and state constitutions, generally speaking. And for instance, did you know that even in 1781, for 5 years after the signing of the Declaration of Independence, that a national constitution was not yet there? It was just a dream. Did you know that the heart of our current constitution was not written in Philadelphia, per se, at least in its original sense, but it was already defined by carefully considered state constitutions? And even more than this, have you ever considered why we have government and why it's necessary to have state and national constitution? And even more than that, do you know that the contents of the various states, and get this, Declaration of Rights, actually is an integral part of the whole process? Most people have no idea that the states have had a Declaration of Rights. Well, I tell you, to help walk through some of these considerations today, we're going to invite to the Stand in the Gap Today microphones Gary Porter. He is a radio host, author, and the executive director of the Constitutional Leadership Initiative, and he's also the host on a radio program every Friday morning on our anchor station here in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, WFYL. Now, with that introduction, I want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Sam Rohr, going to be joined by Gary Dahl and Pastor Isaac Crockett. Dave Kistler is away on the West Coast this week speaking at a youth camp. With that, Gary and Isaac, I'd like to welcome you to the program today and say it's great to be with you. And I'm going to go right to you directly, Gary, right off. And just, we don't often do this, but from the top of your mind, as comes to your mind here, can you highlight something that happened over the weekend to you, some spiritually significant blessing or something else that stood out to you this weekend?
Well, yes, I can, Sam. Two things. Number one, I'm preaching through Isaiah chapter 40. On the 15 great qualities of God in that chapter on Sunday mornings at my church, and it was a blessing to be able to focus on that again and to realize that we have a God who is incomparable to anything else on the face of the earth or in the universe, for that matter. But then the other thing is we had one of our Way of Truth missionaries with us. Way of Truth is my sister ministry that I formed back in 1989. They are trying to raise $35,000 to complete a building over in India where, you know, it's very poverty-stricken. And we were able to raise yesterday $21,530 towards that building. So that was a great blessing, and we just say to God be the glory. You know, that's amazing because over there, one of our men, by the way, took Sonny, his name's Sonny Abraham, one of our men took him out for an ice cream cone Friday night, and he said to him, how long does it take you to work to be able to afford a small McDonald's ice cream cone? And suddenly thought about it. He said, about a half a day. It's about a half a day's wage for a small ice cream cone. So $35,000 is a great need, and raising $21,530 for him yesterday was, wow, was spectacular.
It's going to go a long way for that, Gary. That's fantastic. Guys, let me go to you as well. Anything, what happened to you over this weekend that you can just share with our listeners?
Oh, a lot of things have happened, but I just share one thing real quickly close to home and then another quick thing about the church. But my kids have been just really excited. We had our vacation Bible school at our church. We talk a lot on the program here about reaching the younger generation. We've been developing better programs starting from 18 months old all the way older. And my youngest little guy, Benji, he's been asking me every day this last week, Daddy, is today Sunday? Daddy, is today Sunday? And so yesterday morning as we were getting ready to go to church, I said, hey, Benji, today's Sunday. And he just started cheering and dancing and wanted to get ready to go to church right away because he loves, you know, learning. And he's been learning Bible verses and all kinds of little things on his level, which is exciting to see. But then in our church, it's been neat to see on Sunday nights we're doing very basic Bible studies right now, studying how we got the Bible. And I'm actually using a lot of curriculums I would normally use with, like, middle schoolers. And we have so many new converts in the church that are just eating it up. And then we've actually now have people coming from other area churches. And they go to large churches in the morning, but on Sunday night they say, oh, we want to know the Bible, so we come to Hamburg Bible Church to learn the Bible. And they talk about the social life they have and the bands they have on Sunday morning. But to really learn the Bible, they're coming on Sunday night. And the questions I've been getting, it's just been fantastic. We're just having to keep spread it out because there's so many things happening. And throughout the week I keep getting text messages from a lot of new Christians. It's just exciting to see them growing in their knowledge of the Bible and excited to know it and to read it.
Well, excuse me, Isaac, that's a wonderful thing. Gary and Isaac, both of you, to share those kinds of things, I think are very, very, very interesting. For me, I had a tremendous opportunity this weekend in that I was able to, believe it or not, gentlemen, baptize my oldest granddaughter.
Wow, that's good.
That was a treat. We had about a dozen people that were baptized. We have a camp at our church. We went out to the pool back at the camp. We actually baptized in the pool. Had about seven adults and seven children, and I was able to baptize my granddaughter. So that was a highlight for me. So, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you don't mind us just sharing a few things like this with you, give you a little insight into our lives and the things that we find to be important to us. And I know that if we turn on our phone lines and ask all of you to start calling in and sharing some things, you would have things of this type that you could share. But I hope that as you look back over the weekend, that you can point to some significant spiritual highlights or that really makes a difference in people's lives. So in any regard, just wanted to start out that way today. And Gary and Dave, I tell you, we don't have too much time before this first break, so I'm not even going to bring up the topic other than the fact of mentioning it, and I'm just going to mention it. I was going to go with one of the headline news today. I thought it was interesting because the headline in the paper read, Mark of the Beast, Microchipping Employees Raises Apocalyptic Questions. And a Wisconsin firm was actually asking for volunteers for their employees to start microchipping in their right hand to help them in the process and going in and out of the building, and that would be the process by which they would buy food and all there inside the when they're working. And so that's causing some thinking by people saying, wait a minute, what is this all about? What's happening? And to that, ladies and gentlemen, that's all I'm going to do, just to intrigue you. We may or may not answer that question, but I'm telling you, the news of the day is relevant. It is relevant. Understanding the Word of God, the Bible, applying the issues of the day, I'm telling you, there's never been a greater day than now to understand and see what's happening. Now, when we come back, we're going to bring in Gary Porter, and we're going to embark on this path of some very important constitutional issues. We're going to talk about Declaration of Rights that the states used to have and how these things fit together in explaining the why and the philosophy of our government.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, before there was a national constitution, our U.S. Constitution, there were many state constitutions. In fact, every state has a constitution. Many parts of our state constitutions are similar to the national, but not exactly the same. Many portions of state constitutions are even more precise, perhaps, and instructive, since they indeed, in most cases, for the early colonies anyways, preceded the writing and the adoption of what we have now on the national level. But even more importantly, there's the presence of what is referred to as Declaration of Rights that the states had, those early ones. And today in our program, we're going to talk now with Gary Porter. He's an author, he's a radio host, and he's the executive director of the Constitutional Leadership Initiative. And we're going to talk with him and uncover some of these, I would say, little known but really vitally important facts, because it should help and it does help us to understand what I believe we are so lacking in understanding today. And with that, I welcome to Stand in the Gap Today here for the first time, Gary Porter. Gary, thanks for being with us.
Well, Sam, it is indeed my pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity. I never pass up an opportunity to talk about the Constitution.
Well, I know you don't, and that's why, Gary, you are good to listen to. You are a good guest, and I know you do conferences. You do a lot of writing, and I think that our listeners are going to enjoy very much participating here today with you. But let's get right into it, Gary, if we could, because we have far more than what can be done in just a 45-minute segment. But we're going to start down that path. Tell us just briefly, what is the Constitutional Leadership Initiative? Why did you establish it, and what's your mission?
Well, Sam, the 2008 election convinced me that I could no longer remain on the sidelines watching the world and watching our country progress down a path I thought it shouldn't be taking. And I decided that I needed, before I got politically involved, to learn what our Constitution said, what it meant, and have that as a foundation. So I started studying the Constitution intently, taking whatever courses were available at the time. And I began to see that I could teach this document to others, and we, you know, more people would become literate about the Constitution. So I started doing that, and I formed the Constitutional Leadership Initiative then to provide the structure for that. So not only do we provide seminars on the Constitution, both the United States Constitution and the Virginia Constitution, we also speak to civic groups about constitutional topics. I write many essays on that subject, and as you said, I host my radio show Friday mornings here on WFYL. Lately, I've also started a new initiative where I'm reenacting James Madison, and in period garb, I go into the public schools, pass out pocket constitutions, and tell the kids about their inalienable rights as an endowment from God.
Well, Gary, that's fantastic, and a lot of folks don't know, but you live in Virginia. You're down close to Williamsburg. You're Yorktown. You're in an historic place, and that's where you're calling from right now. So anyways, and also, I have to tell people as well, you are a retired Air Force pilot, having flown F-15s and 16s. So you've got an interesting perspective, and I think that all of this wraps it up into that. Let me jump right and start going further down the road here. I'm going to ask you just a couple of quick questions, and then we'll get into some more detail. Gary, first of all, basic question, did all 13 of the colonies have a constitution at the point that the Declaration of Independence was written?
Well, no, not actually. There were only two that did, and the third had a convention underway as the Declaration of Independence was being written. What happened was that on the in January of 1776, New Hampshire enacted a new constitution. And if you go to New Hampshire, you'll see a constitution state, I believe, on their license plates. Well, that's because they were the very first of the 13 colonies to enact a new constitution. Well, enacting a new constitution is an act of independence. I mean, when you put a new government in place, you are throwing out the old government, and that is an act of independence. So even almost 7 months before we declared independence as 13 colonies, New Hampshire had already done so by enacting a new constitution. South Carolina joined them in April. And as I said, Virginia had a convention underway that began in May of 1776. They had their constitution approved on the 29th of June, just about a week before the Declaration of Independence was approved.
Gary, it's good to have you on with us today, and I like your name. I'm very fond of that name, Gary. So thanks for carrying it.
I've kind of grown attached to it.
Yeah. Let's continue here. You know, while the various colonies did have constitutions, you've said in one of your recent articles in your Constitutional Corner paper that, and I just want to quote this, if you want an introduction to the philosophy of government as understood by America's founders, don't read the United States Constitution. Instead, read a Declaration of Rights from one of the original 13 states, especially Virginia, Pennsylvania, or Maryland, end quote. Now, Gary, most people don't even know that Declaration of Rights actually existed within the states. So I want to ask you, what were those Declaration of Rights? What's the distinction between them and the Constitution of the colonies? And why are they so important in defining the philosophy of government?
Well, Declaration of Rights were understood to be immensely important to the colonists. They had been studying rights for the entire time they had formed the colonies. And in fact, even going back in English history, the subject of rights was of paramount importance, leading back to the Magna Carta and the British Bill of Rights of 1688. So rights were eminently important. They were front and center in dialogue of the day. So it shouldn't be any surprise to find that when they went to the task of enacting a new constitution, that they would begin each new constitution with a Declaration of Rights. Now, not every state did this. There were, I think, 8 of the 13 had declarations of rights as the prelude to their constitution. New Hampshire, for instance, that I mentioned earlier, enacted a new constitution, but they skipped the Declaration of Rights stage, and they would add one later. So declarations of rights were nothing new. They all understood the reason for them. They had been declaring and complaining about offenses against their rights, against the British government and Parliament specifically, for decades. And Thomas Jefferson, James Otis, Samuel Adams all wrote documents focusing on the rights of the colonists.
Gary, this is Isaac, and what you're saying is so interesting. It seems that you're showing even historically that there's a natural desire that we have to know what our rights are and to have these freedoms. This week, my wife and I and our family, we were talking with several farmers who are Amish friends of ours, and one of the men was talking about how he's worried with all that's going on. We were talking about microchipping and on all of this and all this cashless society move, that they are losing a hold of their rights. And he said he just wants to be able to raise his family, you know, farming and passing on a fear of God to his children. And he was actually telling me that his father and many other in the Amish community have been actually attending town meetings and things, which I thought was unusual for the Amish because they're worried that they're losing their common rights. And I was just wondering, you mentioned some of the history of this. Is there a common worldview that our founders of these colonies, that they were working from, where they got the idea that they had the right for rights, the right for freedom? Where were they getting that from, and were they assuming a certain responsibility for government by putting those in place?
Well, yes, they got their idea of rights basically from the Bible. When God says in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, that in fact establishes a right of life. and the right of liberty is firmly established. The right of property is established by thou shalt not steal. So they got the basic idea was of rights was embedded in their worldview as it came from the Bible. And of course, they read many political philosophers, John Locke and Montesquieu and Blackstone, Vattel, Grotius. All these men were infused with the idea of natural rights, that natural rights were a gift of God. They were created by God. And that if you didn't understand the source of your rights, well, then certainly you could let them flitter away and suddenly find yourself without them. Now, going back to Gary's question initially about the philosophy of government, you're not going to find this idea of rights as a gift of God in our Constitution. It was assumed, but it was not stated as such. Where you're going to find that really made manifest is in the state declarations of rights. For instance, let me start by quoting from Virginia's. The very first section of Virginia's Declaration of Rights reads that all men are by nature equally free and independent and have certain inherent rights of which when they enter into a state of society, they cannot by any compact deprive or divest their posterity, namely the enjoyment of life and liberty with the means of acquiring and possessing property and pursuing and obtaining happiness and safety. You don't find that in the Constitution. Now, you find a protection of property in the against search and seizure, for instance, in the Fourth Amendment, and you find generally the idea that we should be able to enjoy life and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity in the preamble. But the idea of the philosophy of government is really circumspect in the Constitution, probably because they all understood that this was the reason for government, and they didn't need to spell it out in the Constitution.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Stand in the Gap today. Our special guest, Gary Porter. He is the executive director of the Constitutional Leadership Initiative, and we're spending today's program pretty much on these underpinnings of rights, the Declaration of Rights that some of the states, early states had, and how it fits into our constitutions today. Now, when we come back, we're going to continue on that issue of rights as coming from our Creator and why this is so important for us to know now.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today co-host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
If you're just joining us in Stand in the Gap today, we welcome you, and we know that for those who listen live, this is in the middle for those, this middle of your lunch period. We know that sometimes that gets interrupted by if you're traveling in a car or wherever. We understand that, and I want to be able to recommend to you that if you did not catch the first part of the program, you're just now joining us, that you can pick up the entire program by going to standinthegapradio.com. All of the archives are there, and this will be a program that you'll want to do that. Also, for those of you who perhaps have not yet downloaded our free app, I encourage you to do that. It makes for listening extraordinarily. It's a convenient factor. If you have an iPhone, just enter the phrase, Stand in the Gap. If you have an Android, just put in the phrase, American Pastors Network. Download that app. Check the when it comes up the ability to receive alerts, and then we will notify you a couple of hours before the program every day, the theme and the special guest that we will be having that day. And if you listen to it later in your car, otherwise, if you have to stop, you can go back at it, and it'll pick up where you left off. Very, very convenient. So I'll just put that out there before all of you. And now let's move right into now this second half of the program with our special guest, Gary Porter. Again, he's a radio host. He's an author. He's a retired Air Force pilot, but he's also the executive director of the Constitutional Leadership Initiative. Now, in this segment here, I want to talk about the key components of the Declaration of Rights. We talked about that. Some of the early colonies had them. They came at different times. Gary did say that not all of the original colonies, in fact, had a constitution by the time the Declaration of Independence was signed. But these things kind of work together. And that's what Gary is explaining here a little bit to us today. And I want to go into that now, Gary, with you. The Declaration of Independence, which is really a declaration, and you can comment whether or not you term the Declaration of Independence to be a declaration of rights or just a declaration of freedom, but we'll talk, you can mention that. But at the beginning of that document, close to it, it says, "We are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights." And you, at the end of the last segment, you were talking about some of that as written in the Virginia Declaration of Rights. So my question to you is this: why is the issue of the rights of man so critical in the U.S. Declaration of Independence as coming from the Creator? Share with us, if you could, how the various states, the Declaration of Rights and so forth, shed additional insight, if you could, on this fundamental declaration that a lot of people recognize, but they may not know why it is there.
Well, you cut out a little bit there, Sam, but I think I got the gist of your question. A lot of people don't understand the source of rights because our public school system does not teach that God is the source of inalienable rights. Yes, they may read the Declaration of Independence in class, and they may read over that sentence that you just recited, but it doesn't sink into them that God is, in fact, the source of our inalienable rights. Now, all of our rights are not inalienable. Government, civil government, can create rights, and it does, and can grant those to you, but they can be taken away just as easily as they were created. So those are alienable rights. Those are not permanent in any sense. But today, most people will answer the question where your rights come from. They'll say, well, government. Government creates our rights. Government gives us our rights. And if government gives you that right, then government can take away that right just as easily. So that is a separate category of rights that we need to keep separate. God grants you inalienable rights, and all the founders understood that. They express it maybe in slightly different ways in these state declarations of rights, but it's, the central thought is there.
That's very interesting, and maybe, Gary, you could kind of pick up on that and go we'll kind of save the right to worship for the next segment and get into that more. But in your opinion, what other basic rights are addressed in these different state declarations of rights that might help us understand where the U.S. Constitution came from and the why
and
of what
maybe
ended
it's
up
my
in the Constitution.
Connection's cutting out, but that's a good point, because the state Declaration of Rights do not necessarily track with the National Bill of Rights in the U.S. Constitution. The National Bill of Rights, 10 amendments, there's about 26 different rights spelled out there. But when you look at the state constitutions, the state declarations of rights, you see that there are some rights that are guaranteed for the people of that state that are not mentioned in the National Bill of Rights. But more importantly, and more fundamentally than that, is that the state declarations of rights, as I said earlier, are a statement of the philosophy of government. For instance, in the Virginia Declaration of Rights, no man or set of men are entitled to exclusive or separate emoluments or privileges from the community. That's a statement of the philosophy of government. Well, if that was in our national constitution or our national bill of rights, there would be no such thing as aid to farmers or aid to dependent children. Those are separate emoluments or privileges granted to a separate or exclusive subset of the community. And they would be forbidden under the idea of the state declarations of rights.
You know, I think this is great information for our people, Gary. And just before we get into this next segment, I just want to say that I think it's important for people to understand not only the Declaration of Rights, but some of the thinking and the philosophy that came behind the individual states' constitutions. You had mentioned that if you really want to understand the philosophy of government, that you should study these Declaration of Rights. But at the same time, when you take into consideration the states' constitutions, one of the things that you find is that many of them, if not most of them, had a strong reference to God. For instance, the state of Arkansas, that I think, what was it, 1874 or something like that, in the preamble it said, "We the people of Arkansas, grateful to Almighty God for the privilege of choosing and forming our own government." Pennsylvania has a strong statement. Other states have a strong statement about God in their constitution. My question to you is, what does this say about our founders, and what can our national government and the people of our country learn from these states' constitutions as it relates to the recognition of God?
Well, first of all, I want to recommend a book. My good friend Bill Federer has written a book called The Original 13, subtitled The Documentary History of Religion in America's First 13 States. If you really want to understand the role of religion in the original 13 states, this book lays it out quite well. And as you mentioned, every one of the state constitutions has an overt statement about God and being dependent upon God, and they are really rich. Some of them are really rich statements, and I would recommend everyone just take a look at them to find out how well they were put together and how dependent the citizens of those states felt they should be upon God.
Gary, let me go a little slightly direction here right now. We were talking about, most people understand we have a national U.S. Constitution. We've talked about the fact that the original colonies had constitutions, but they weren't all there present at the same time the Declaration of Independence was signed. We've talked about Declaration of Rights. Now, let me go this direction with you. And if I were to say, Gary Porter with Constitutional Leadership Initiative, if you could identify something that's in the national U.S. Constitution that is not perhaps in the other state constitutions that really is a critical factor, you know, something that they collectively put in that was not in the 13 colonies, could you identify something that is there that's really become very important to us in our republic, perhaps that, the individual declarations or constitutions did not have, but the national one does? Is there anything like that?
Yeah, there is. And first of all, you can go to teachingamericanhistory.org, all one word, and you will find on their website a chart that is a comparison of each of the 13 original colonies' Declaration of Rights when they finally came to be and the National Bill of Rights. And you can see right by right which ones included which statements and which did not. As far as what is contained in the National Bill of Rights that is not found in the state bill declarations, it is the Ninth Amendment. None of the state declarations alluded to the fact that there were other rights reserved by the people that were not enumerated in the Declaration or the Bill of Rights, as the Ninth Amendment states. And that is a very important protection, because one of the dangers of a Bill of Rights that Madison expressed and others at the time, if you start writing a Bill of Rights and you leave something out, what does that imply? It implies that that right is still in the hands of the government and not secure. So it's impossible to really enumerate all of your rights. So they made an attempt in the Bill of Rights to list the most important ones, the most essential ones, but they knew they couldn't list them all. So the Ninth Amendment then specifies that there are unenumerated rights that are still to be protected by the government and that are reserved for the people.
Well, that's a very critical factor. Ladies and gentlemen, great point of information to know there. Collectively, when the colonies got together and put together the national, they did recognize that there was one point missing. That's the Ninth Amendment, a great piece to walk away from. Gary is talking about teachingamericanhistory.org, one place to go to get that side-by-side comparison. And we're going to talk now in the next segment, in a solution set, we're going to talk about the religious right, the freedom to worship right that we recognize is so critically important. We're going to talk about that and any differences surrounding that from the states to the national and why it's so important.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Hey, I'm Brant. Just read this news item about the two things that are stressing Americans out the most. Thought this was interesting. They say we're losing a record amount of sleep because of these two things. Number one, healthcare expenses. And the second thing, saving for retirement. The two biggest stressors. But what's remarkable? You can make a phone call right now and actually take action on both of these at once. Just call MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses, and it works beautifully. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993. Most members save about $500 a month compared to other healthcare plans. Imagine having a great healthcare plan and adding $500 for your retirement every month. One call, two less things to stress about, and that can help you sleep better at night. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, as we enter into our final segment here for the day, with our special guest, Gary Porter, again, radio host, author, retired Air Force pilot, and he's the executive director of the Constitutional Leadership Initiative. Also, he hosts his own program on our anchor station, WFYL, out of Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, is with us today. Gary, I would like to go into this next segment. We're talking about rights. We've talked just in a surface respect because you can spend all day, and I've been with you on some of those events. You're very good. We can talk about the state constitutions. We can talk about the national constitution. In this last segment, I asked you the question, is there anything in the national constitution that is absent from the state constitutions? And you said, yes, a very vital one called the Ninth Amendment, saying that all rights not enumerated in that constitution are reserved to the people. Very critical, not the government, to the people. And you just commented on that briefly. But we want to go in this last segment to the concept of our religious right, our ability to worship. We call it the First Amendment, but our states have protections under that as well. And Gary Dull talked to you about the fact that many of our state constitutions are very clear in reference to God Almighty, Creator, and our rights coming from God Almighty and so forth. So let's go right into that aspect, if you would. How do the various states, the Declaration of Rights, that the various states would have, how do these areas vary or differ relative to the matter of worship and being able to worship openly? Could be a state religion, perhaps, because we know that the federal says no state religion can be mandated. Talk to us a little bit about this, because my guess is that this area will be very instructive for people as well. Gary, are you there?
As soon as I take myself off mute, I will be there. Yes.
There you go. Okay. You're all there, Gary. You're all there. I'm glad. Go ahead. Can you answer that question, please?
We do this on my show, too. Forget about the mute button. Anyway, so let's lay the foundation here for this discussion. There was a more fundamental precept that the founders understood than just rights per se. That was the right of conscience. The right of conscience was an essential and fundamental right that kind of supported all of the others. And James Madison wrote a very, very important essay in 1790, published in the National Gazette, called Property. And in that essay, he called your rights to be property. They were to be secured by the government just as though they are property. And the most sacred of your property is your right of conscience. They understood that nothing should come between you and your conscience, that you should be able to express your conscience in any way, shape, or form. So that then equates to complete freedom of religion. Let me read you the Section 16 of the Virginia Declaration of Rights. It states that religion, or the duty which we owe to our Creator and the manner of discharging it, can be directed only by reason and conviction, not by force or violence. And therefore, all men are equally entitled to the free exercise of religion according to the dictates of conscience, and that it is the mutual duty of all, everyone, regardless of religious persuasion, to practice Christian forbearance, love, and charity towards each other. Isn't that a powerful statement? We have a duty in our religion. We have religion is a duty that which we owe our Creator, and that it yet we must be free to exercise our religion according to the dictates of conscience.
You know, this is tremendous information you're sharing with us, Gary, and I think that the average person in our nation really does not understand their individual state's constitution or Declaration of Rights.
No.
I mean, if you were to ask five people, what does their state constitution really say? Or even have they ever read their state constitution? I would venture to say that most of them would say no. I mean, would you agree to that? That it's sort of an obscure document in the minds of many people?
Absolutely. I think most people recognize there is a constitution in their state. I mean, there is a government that is running under some document. But as to reading it, no. I would go more than five people. It would take 100 people off the street. 99 and maybe even 100 of them will not have read their state constitution or its Declaration of Rights.
And that's very unfortunate. But because of that, can you name any other specified rights? We've been talking about that in this discussion. But can you name any other specified rights that exist in state declarations of rights which we all should be aware of that further explain the why and the philosophy of government as it relates to our duties and the rights that we need to maintain a free republic?
Well, if you look at the declarations of rights at the state level, almost all of them will have a similar statement to this found in Virginia's, that all power is vested in and consequently derived from the people, that magistrates are their trustees and servants, and at all times amenable to them. Now, that's a philosophy of government statement, really, fundamentally, but it also is a concept that we seem to forget. We forget that all power that our governments use, all legitimate power, just powers, as Jefferson refers to them in the Declaration, just powers all come from the people. And that if the people don't like the way their government is operating, the people, as the source of power, have the power to change it.
Well, Gary, as we begin to wind down a little bit, let's just do a real practical stage. People are listening, and they're saying, yeah, Washington's out of touch. Yes, we had a president most recently, the last one, said he'd go around Congress. He went around the Constitution, had no concern about it. Gary, can our nation continue if our people don't begin speaking up and electing people to office who fundamentally agree with upholding the Constitution?
Well, Sam, you put your finger on it. One of your very first statements. We need an informed citizenry. Jefferson, Madison, several others made statements to this effect that if a people who expect to be ignorant and yet remain free expect what never was and never will be, we are not going to survive as a republic with our current state of constitutional ignorance.
That's a straight-up statement, ladies and gentlemen. Very clear. We cannot continue if we do not, as people, understand. So when we talk about the knowledge of the Constitution, or whether we talk about the preaching of truth from the pulpits of America, truth is the goal. If we reject the truth, we're going to lose everything we have. If we don't understand the truth, we're going to lose what we have. Gary, in 15 seconds, where can people go to your website to find out more information about you and your organization?
Well, it's Constitution Leadership Initiative. I should have corrected that earlier on. Constitution Leadership Initiative. And there you'll find information about the seminars we conduct. You'll find essays that I've written for my show and for other organizations, and just general information about me. You'll also see some pictures of my reenactment of James Madison. If people in a local area are interested in having me come out and talk to their school group, they can do that.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Gary. Isaac, would you close us in prayer, please? A lot to pray about here on these things we've talked about today.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the country that you have given us here in the United States. We thank you for the history that we have, for the rights that come from you, our Creator and our Sustainer of life. I pray that you would help all of those listening today, that we might trust in you and rely on you, so that we might live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness, as we remember to pray and intercede for our leaders, our government leaders and our local leaders, and for each other as well. We love you. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our precious Savior. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us today. And until we get back tomorrow again on this program, stand in a gap for truth where you are.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.